Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
The world stops when there is a Beyoncé drop.
Mm.
And on Monday, June 20th, we just got the first single off her upcoming album, Renaissance. The song is called Break My Soul. It is a cathartic dance floor, liberatory chorus. The verse is about workers' rights, the great resignation, mass unionization.
I just fell in love, and I just quit my job. I'm gonna find no drive, damn, they work me so damn hard.
This is a significant release for Beyoncé. She's teaming up with producers Tricky Stewart and The Dream. Do you know what else they've produced with Beyoncé, Nate?
I'm gonna say Single Ladies.
Correct, yes. It's been 6 years since Beyoncé put out her last studio solo record, Lemonade. And like that record and all of her releases, she's putting this out in a new and creative way. She doesn't abide by the traditional album and single release model, right? She always upends it. The song was released, as I said, on Monday. What day do songs release on?
Friday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
I don't know why.
So it used to be that new music was released on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
But when Beyoncé put out her 2013 self-titled album, it came out, surprisingly, on a Friday. And its overwhelming success played a big part in why the music industry decided to shift release days to Fridays.
So Beyoncé broke the release schedule.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
And she's doing it again. Now she's saying, Monday's the day. And not just any Monday. It's the combination of Pride, the Juneteenth federal holiday, the summer solstice. And I think most shockingly, Beyoncé is giving us a house track.
Why is that shocking?
Well, it seems that the whole world has agreed that Beyoncé is bringing house music back. Here's a few headlines. Mother Jones, Beyoncé is bringing back house music and not a moment too soon. BBC, Beyoncé, Drake, and the revival of house music. Drake just put out a record that has a lot of house music and subgenres like Jersey Club. Finding myself, showing myself. My favorite headline, though, from The Print.
Mm-hmm.
1990s house music and fashion are back. Unfortunately, so is the 1970s economy. Real bait and switch headline.
All these headlines make it sound like house music was accidentally left at the grocery store. And then, like, Beyoncé went and picked it up and like, dropped it off in her minivan. And now house music is back, thanks to her. I assume we're going to unpack the veracity of this claim that house music just went away.
Which brings me to something very exciting.
I smell an announcement.
This is one of the most exciting days of the show. We have a new producer that's joining us.
Woo!
Is this when I could speak?
You can speak. Hello.
Hello.
Wow. Welcome.
Rana Cruz.
Hello.
You are the new producer on Switched on Pop.
I am, and I'm very happy to be here.
And you've been investigating this question of what does it mean to be bringing house music back, and where did it all start?
I have. So I am a house music aficionado, but to understand more about house music and its history, I hit up Jason King, who's the chair of the Clive Davis Institute of Recorded Music at New York University. He's a dance music scholar, even published articles on Beyoncé herself, so this is like the exact person we need to be talking to. And I asked him, what exactly is house music?
House music is a highly rhythmic dance music that was created by mostly black and brown POC queer artists in the late 1970s and early 1980s.
So it comes out of the remains of disco music and its subculture throughout the 70s,
right,
often repurposing the songs and sounds of disco.
Disco had anthems like I Will Survive. Those kinds of songs that made you feel powerful and assertive on the dance floor. Disco supposedly died in the late 1970s, around 1979, and then there was this post-disco moment, and house was one of the forms that came out of that post-disco moment.
So we all know disco, right? Disco is categorized by excess, you know, massive string sections, soaring vocals, lyrics usually about things like love, dancing, other great stuff. A great example of this is Thelma Houston's song, Don't Leave Me This Way. Baby, my heart is full of love and desire for you.
Now come on down and do what you gotta do. House music borrows from disco's sense of optimism and uplift. And that was especially important for the communities that disco was serving, particularly Black and brown, queer and trans communities.
So you guys have heard of the whole, like, disco is dead moment, right?
Yeah. We reported a story on disco demolition a long time ago.
Right. So, like, you know, the whole story of that, right, is that, like, the supposed death of disco came in 1979. There was the infamous disco demolition night, where a whole baseball stadium of people literally celebrated the explosion and blowing up of a massive pile of disco records. And, like, we could argue the roots of that in sort of an emerging rocktimism. We could argue its roots in racism and homophobia. But the impact was that disco was, like, immediately labeled bad and uncool, and anything catering to similar communities went underground as a result. House producers were inspired by the uplift and the four-to-the-floor kick of disco, but couldn't afford the aforementioned sweeping 30-piece orchestra sections like we heard in Thelma, Houston. So they leaned more towards what they had at their disposal.
House music uses drum machines and samplers and synthesizers, this pulsating, incredible, rhythmic music.
So a classic example of this would be Frankie Knuckles' song, Your Love. So the music found its place in gay clubs, ballrooms, literal warehouses, hence the name House.
Right.
Propelled by a fan base of these queer and trans communities of color. And from there,
it spread and became a more mainstream music and became a kind of major dance genre.
So house music had a decade or so of being mostly in the underground. And then in the 90s, pop music and house music fully converged. And you could hear it in things like
CNC Music Factory. Janet Jackson's Together Again. Everywhere I go, every smile I see. Madonna.
But one of the most iconic examples, in my eyes at least, comes from the artist Robin S.
Show Me Love is that moment in which house music and pop music were really coming together. Show Me Love comes out of this vocal, soulful house tradition. And in that tradition of house music, you had these foregrounded, like, kind of woman, Black woman largely, with battleship voices. And that's a tradition that largely had Black and brown queer men as their, like, central fan base, right? And Robin S. was definitely out of that tradition. And you hear that in Beyoncé's music, too. You know, You Won't Break My Soul. It's like, you know, an anthem of defiance.
So in the case of Break My Soul, you guys previously mentioned it's a house track, right? And knowing what we know, this is undoubtedly true. I asked Jason how specifically it embodies the genre.
The clear thing that I hear in a song like Break My Soul is that percussive, four on the floor beat with those hi-hats going. That's a staple of house music. She's also got this kind of bass sound going on, and that's produced by a synthesizer called the Korg M1. That was a classic synthesizer that was used in early 1990s music. You might hear it in a song like Deeper Love by CNC Music Factory or Finally by CC Peniston. Oh, no, finally it's happened to me right in front of my face. My feelings can't describe it. And you hear it throughout Show Me Love 2 by Robin S.
So Beyoncé doesn't necessarily just use the spirit of house music. She actually samples, or quote-unquote samples, Robin S.
Yeah, the first time I heard Break My Soul, it was clear to me that there was a Robin S. reference, because Show Me Love was not only very successful, but it was also one of the originators of that iconic house organ sound that Beyoncé's song is clearly referencing. Those are definitely the same sounds, but it's not that surprising to me because the Korg M1 is a very popular synthesizer. It's the best-selling synthesizer of all time. They sold over 250,000 units when it was in production from 1988 to 1995, And Show Me Love made that organ sound very popular. It was ubiquitous in house music of the time, and it's been used in contemporary music in countless examples. Bob Sinclair's World Hold On.
I mean, I've also heard it on Katy Perry's Swish Swish, which is produced by Duke Dumont, who's like a house producer in his own right. Another one in the basket.
And a lot of people sample the original Robin S. as well. Like, I know, Rihanna, you are a big-time Charlie XCX fan.
Charlie XCX scholar, in fact.
Come on, Charlie.
She used it on her new record, Crash, on the song Used to Know Me. I feel like when we hear that organ sound on Break My Soul, just like, boom. Takes you right into that 90s house music kind of vibe that has never left us. So Break My Soul credits the songwriters of Show Me Love, basically saying that there's a sample here. But I'm not sure about that. Like, I don't think this is actually a story of the sample. Hear me out, all right?
I'm listening.
Break My Soul supposedly samples Show Me Love. That's how it's been reported, at least. But I don't think this is a story of a sample. It's kind of screwy, especially when you get into the credits. Robin S. performed Show Me Love, but wasn't a songwriter, so she's not a listed songwriter for the sample on Break My Soul. Instead, songwriting credits are given to Alan George and Fred McFarlane, the original songwriters on Show Me Love. But what's weird here is that their song, the one that they wrote, doesn't even have that house organ sound on it. The version we know with that house organ comes from DJ Stonebridge, who remixed the song in 92. The organ sound that DJ Stonebridge uses is clearly the main inspiration for Break My Soul, but because remixers aren't technically songwriters, he doesn't seem to be getting any songwriting or publishing credits on the Beyoncé track. And maybe weirdest of all is that this isn't even a sample. Both songs have clearly different bass lines. Here's Show Me Love. And here's Break My Soul.
So those are similar. They both go from a higher note to a lower note. They're both rhythmically syncopated, making you want to dance. But they're not exactly the same, are they?
No.
The Show Me Love house organ line has more notes, it moves around more, it's a little busier. The Beyoncé Break My Soul house organ line is a little more streamlined, a little simpler, just two notes going back and forth. So similar, but not identical.
Yeah, they mash up well, and even if you put them back to back with the Show Me Love and the Break My Soul after, you can see that they're different. And actually have to put Break My Soul in the right key because they are in different keys. Show Me Love. Break My Soul. I would argue that there are classic 90s house tracks that sound even more like the Robin S. than the Beyoncé does. Check out Livin' Joy's Don't Stop Movin'. They didn't credit the songwriters of the Robin S., who didn't originally even use that organ patch. So it makes us wonder, like, why is this a sample?
Well, I suppose one reason that they would credit Show Me Love, even though these house organ lines are not an exact sample, is that in a world, in the aftermath of the Blurred Lines copyright case, where Robin Thicke, Pharrell, and T.I., even though they didn't sample a Marvin Gaye song, had to pay the Marvin Gaye estate and the owners of the publishing of his song got to give it up. Since that moment, artists have become very cautious. And it might be wise to give a copyright credit for a song that you didn't directly sample if there's even a remote possibility that that artist might file a suit at some point. So it's like a way of just covering your bases. So there might be some element of that, just trying to get ahead of any possible controversy by making the Show Me Love songwriters get credits on Break My Soul.
Makes sense to me.
I also think it comes out of a sort of respect to community, because the house music community is a very tight-knit, very protective over their genre community. And I think by crediting the original songwriters, it's Beyoncé sort of extending an arm, saying that I'm not trying to appropriate this. I recognize where my sources are. I recognize where my inspirations are, and bringing them into the current picture.
Okay, so we've got like commercial and cultural reasons why we might have a pseudo sample here.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I'd like to believe that's part of the reason, you know, not just cold commercial calculus, but actually a desire to give these legendary house artists their flowers. And I think I saw that Robin S. has had this new wave of popularity and maybe rediscovery thanks to Break My Soul. So if it is the latter motivation, I think that is really paying off.
But part of the thing is that Robin S. didn't even know that she was being sampled, which I think is crazy, because I feel like Beyoncé could have done this to extend an arm to the community, like I said. But Robin S. had to be told by her family members that she was trending on Twitter because she didn't even know her song was being sampled.
Well, that's another wrinkle in this saga.
I love hearing these connections. That Korg M1 organ bass sound is iconic. It makes me think of Robin S. But one sample slash reference does not a house song make. Beyoncé is pulling out all the stops here. We're going to hear more the second half of the show.
The worsening baby formula shortage has become every parent's worst nightmare. Searching high and low, only to find empty store shelves.
I bottle feed, and I cannot find it anywhere. I have to go all the way to Springfield to get her formula. It's scary.
For the young and helpless segment of the population that relies on formula, this is a food crisis, and we at Gastropod are on it. I'm Nicola Twilley.
And I'm Cynthia Graber. This week on Gastropod, how did we get here? What is formula? Why do so many parents rely on it to feed their babies? And why do so few companies make it?
And on our way down the rabbit hole, we also explore what happened to babies before formula was invented. And what's so different about human milk compared to other species like cows?
This episode, we are telling the story of human milk substitutes, how we got to the crisis today, and where we should go next. Listen to Gastropod wherever you get your podcasts.
Unexplainable is a science show about everything we don't know. And we've got a new series, Lost Worlds, about some of the wildest mysteries of the deep, deep past.
You're looking at a kind of world that hasn't existed for millions and millions.
Time is so huge that scientists can ask all kinds of unexpected questions.
Millions of years.
How do you know that we are the first technological species on Earth?
There's a lot we don't know.
Like, where did the moon come from?
We have no idea why the moon is here, and it's the moon. It's not like this is some strange, faraway thing. It's the moon.
It's almost as if time forgot this place.
Or was there ever life on Mars?
Maybe life is so fundamental a process that you can have two different life-generating events in this solar system.
There's a whole universe out there, Steve, beyond anyone's comprehension.
Subscribe to Unexplainable for episodes every Wednesday starting June 8th.
Unexplainable. Subscribe now.
So when we hear Beyoncé's new single, Break My Soul, it takes us right into classic 90s house music. Before we get into what that means, I want to listen to a couple more of those signifiers. Rihanna, you spoke with Jason King. He mentioned specifically the sound of the drums, right?
The pulsating, four to the floor, synthesized drum beat.
House producers are known for using drum machines. Many of us are very familiar with the famous 808 drum machine. That's primarily the sound of hip-hop. Its siblings, the 707 and the 909, those are the sounds of house music. You can hear the 909 on Mr. Fingers. Can you feel it? Jason mentioned Madonna. It's on Vogue. Strike the pose. at least the hi-hats on Show Me Love, they sound like a 909 to me. And we're getting that same vibe, of course, on Break My Soul.
These drum sounds, to me, sound a little brighter, a little lighter, less deep than the 808. And I wonder if that's because house music has quicker tempos, it has a little more bounciness and brightness, and so these drums maybe support that kind of groove.
They're definitely very punchy, and in music which is meant to be primarily dance music, for sure, it's a good sound, it definitely fits.
Keeps you on your toes.
So we've got the Robin S. Korg M1 organ sound, we've got the 909 drums. The other thing that stands out to me is the house piano. There's like a sound of house piano.
Yeah. SHP, shitty house piano.
I think it's a great sound. It's actually another one of the factory patches off of that Korg M1 synthesizer.
It's great.
I say shitty as a compliment. It's like, it sounds like a really bootleg piano in a way that is so unique and so sharp and effective.
And it can't be bad because it's totally iconic. It's everywhere. That sound is a strong signal to me that, okay, we're in a house track. I think of a song like Black Boxes, Right on Time. Jason mentioned CeCe Peniston's Finally. And if you want to fire me for making this reference, you're totally welcome. It's also all over Barbie Girl by Aqua.
You never have to apologize for Barbie Girl, Charles.
As a Eurodance apologist, I love Aqua. So,
what strikes me about this constellation of characteristic house music sounds, from the 707 and 909 drum machines to the Korg M1 house organ and house piano, is that they take these familiar sounds, drums, organs, pianos, and they transform them into something that is kind of tight and clipped and bright and slightly unnatural in this way that just pulls you into the song and gives the song so much like explosiveness. You can't help but dance. There's some uncanny property to these sounds that make it irresistible to dance.
Well, it's funny that you mention explode, Nate, because that leads us to maybe one of the most essential parts of Break My Soul, and that's the Big Frida Bounce record, Explode. So, Big Frida, love her, queen of bounce.
Yes.
She's credited with bringing bounce music to a national stage. Bounce music is very regional, located to New Orleans, and is like adjacent to the sort of hip-hop club music of the area. It's founded on these call-outs and chants. You know, you could hear it. She shouts over and over again, release your wiggle, right? She's telling everybody to get down and boogie. And Explode came out in 2014 and is like a perfect distillation of what bounce is. And in the context of Break My Soul, the general ethos of both songs is the same. It's to let go, to set yourself free, specifically leaning on the plights of labor and to like loosen up, and using Big Frida's, to Beyonce's credit, because like they work together on Formation.
I did not come to play with you hoes. I came to slay, bitch.
Similarly, I think it's interesting that, you know, in passing, we've brought up Drake in these conversations, but Big Frida also connects us to Drake because she's the voice that we hear at the beginning of Nice for What.
I want to know who motherfucking representing it here tonight. Hold on, hold on. Uh-huh. These hoes.
So, you know, she has an immediately recognizable voice. The minute I heard Break My Soul, I was like, that is Big Frida at the top carrying us through Explode. So using Frida on a song like Break My Soul is honestly intentional if we're thinking about the sort of perceived community references, because Big Frida exemplifies the queer, gender nonconforming communities of color that house music was designed for. And by bringing somebody in who specializes in this form of bounce, right? The queen of bounce, as I said. Beyoncé is kind of fusing together these regional subgenres under the sort of all-consuming banner of house and bringing it all together in quite a lovely way.
Well, one thing I take away is that this Beyoncé release, Break My Soul, the Drake album that you mentioned, and possibly some other tracks coming down the pike might represent a transition away from the disco revival, which we've been living in, at least since Daft Punk released Random Access Memories. Mm. We've come too far to give up who we are. And maybe we're transitioning now into a house revival era of the 2020s, which kind of parallels how disco itself evolved into house back in the 70s and 80s. So that leaves me pretty excited for the upcoming house wave. I think the question is, how will it pay homage to the progenitors of this sound and the community that has sustained it, and not just supporting a narrative of, oh, Beyoncé is bringing back house?
House music might be having a very mainstream wave, but I was talking the other day with friend of the pod, Michael Salkind, who is also a house scholar, and he was saying, you know what, has house music ever gone anywhere? Hasn't it always been here? Especially Beyoncé. From the very beginning, there have been house remixes of Destiny's Child. And she's comfortable working in that four to the floor kind of vibe. On the Lion King album called The Gift that she worked on, her song Find Your Way Back is sort of like an Afrobeats house kind of vibe. You said find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back. Don't let this night drive you. So maybe in her own words, we actually don't need to find our way back to house. Maybe it's just been there all along.
I mean, I also thought of track 4 off of the self-titled, Blow, which is very clearly drawing from disco as well as house. So Beyoncé sort of has this history of using house beats and incorporating that into her music. But I also think it's natural for people to be a little bit bristly, maybe, about somebody like Beyoncé taking this sound that's near and dear to a particular community and bringing it to the mainstream once again. I know that when I first listened, I was like, oh, this song rocks. But in the back of my head, I was like, what does this necessarily mean? So I asked our expert, Jason, what he thought about the genre's resurgence in this current moment.
Some people are concerned about Beyoncé or Drake taking house music or using house music on their tracks. I think both of them I look at as kind of curatorial geniuses, especially Beyoncé. You know, her career legacy has been to synthesize all of these strands of American and global music, whether she's doing R&B or soul or pop or electronica. So she's a synthesizer. She's a curator, even more than I think being an avant-garde innovator.
So knowing what we know about house music, its history, and its communities, on Break My Soul, I also asked Jason, does Beyoncé effectively capture the essence of house music?
So on one hand, you know, I can understand how some people would see a song like this as a exploitative moment in which, you know, she's releasing a song on Juneteenth, and it's also Pride Month and it's Pride Week in New York City. So it feels in some ways like Beyoncé could just be similar to a corporation who's kind of jumping on the bandwagon. But it could also, from the other hand, just be a moment to claim the beauty and the historical bounty of house music and intersectional identities. This is like a queer, friendly summer 2022 anthem of defiance and resistance, I think, when the community she's serving needed it most.
So, you know, we've been talking a lot about house music revival, and it might seem like Beyoncé is bringing house back, right? Like these headlines and what we talked about. But keeping it real, Jason puts it really well.
So house music has been here. It's going to be here for a long time. And house music happens to be the latest thing that people are sampling more and more.
Beyoncé is probably just the most high-profile artist to be working with house music in this current moment.
So right now, Beyoncé is giving us house music,
mm-hmm.
and I'm vibing on it. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm very excited to see what happens when Renaissance comes out later this summer.
I've heard inklings in the atmosphere that it's going to be part country and part dance.
Stop it. No.
There was a source in an article that said it's supposed to be half country, half dance, which me... put my Madonna stan hat on, gives 2000s music, but who am I? Who am I to say?
This may not be the last podcast we devote to Beyoncé.
All right, I'll see y'all real soon. Switched on Pop is now produced by Rihanna Cruz. Woo!
Yeah, woo!
We are edited by Jolie Myers, engineered by Brandon McFarland. Our illustrations are by Iris Gottlieb, community management by Abby Barr, executive producers Anna Rosen and Ashok Hirwa. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture.
And a big thank you to Jason King. In addition to being our Beyoncé expert, he has a new podcast launching called Sound Barrier, with the first season focusing on the icon Sylvester. It's available only on Spotify. Check it out.
You can find more episodes of Switched on Pop anywhere you get podcasts and our website, switchedonpop.com.
You can follow us on social media at Switched on Pop, Twitter, Instagram. And our question for the week is, house music is very big and broad. What is the iconic, the essential house track to you? If you're giving one track to somebody to be the house song in question, what is that song?
Marshall Jefferson, Move Your Body. Oh, sorry, you weren't asking me. Okay, so that's for the listeners.
We'll be back again on Tuesday. And until then,
thanks for listening.